Well, you know, this morning I'm very excited to have my brother here. My brother-in-law, but we call each other brother. I mean, this guy and I, we go way, way back. He was actually my friend before I met Kendra. I think I got to Kendra. He was the first one I told, "Hey, you know, I like your sister." I know. So him and I, we played in the same worship team as a teenager together, I tell you. So we go way, way back. His parents were missionaries to Haiti in my church. And I love Rodney. You know, we go way, way back. And we've been through a lot, but I'm so thankful for what we have. I have a friend in him. He's a man of God. We went through the same school together, you know. We sat under the same mentor. And I'm excited that today I asked him, I said, "Hey, if you come, I would like for you to share the word of the Lord with our people." So, yeah, put your hands together for Rodney Smoker. Come on, buddy. Let's go. Thank you, Lord. And then he can introduce the rest of his clan.
Morning. So my clan are over there. There are six kids. That's awesome. So aging from, I think, 14 to... He's 15. He's 15. And the young... That'd be nice. I can bring it down. I'm fine. It's heavy? Oh. Yeah, this is fine. If it's everybody, it's okay? So yeah, the oldest is 15, and then the youngest is, she's going to be 2 in sometime. Sometime. And then I have a wonderful wife, Lillian. We've been married for 17 years coming, so it's awesome. Fun, great story this morning. Kendra talking about spring and everything. She's been trying to just bring spring on a little too early. I mean, but Kendra does that to a lot of things anyway, right? Everybody kind of, you know, she like her energy brings just like, but so I come in this morning and I'm talking, and here I get greeted by the June usher. And I have this little moment. I'm like, is this Kendra just trying to like be like, is she trying to bring spring, you know, on before? It's like, you know, hey, I'm Usher June, the, you know. So I actually, I'm like, so is this a month? Like, is this your month? But I think, but it's not June, right? It's March. Why do you have the June usher up there for the month of March? But so good. But then I quickly was educated and found out that no, it's not. It's not the month that that's her name. So very cool. But that would be a nice June usher. You're the. Are you all the time usher? No. They're trying to. Man, they're trying to. They want you to be all the time usher. No more of this June usher. Be all the time usher. Awesome. So yes, we live in upstate New York, a little place called Himrod, and it's right along the Finger Lakes. Does anybody know about the Finger Lakes? Wine tasting, great, great place. We love it. We moved there maybe 8 years ago. We lived in Lancaster, Pennsylvania for a lot of years and then moved up there. But we're loving it. It's a lot of fun, except winter comes usually maybe 2-3 weeks sooner than anybody, than like you guys, or maybe a month sooner than you guys. Probably a month sooner. And then it's a month longer. So it's a bummer, but no, we're happy to be here. We're headed down to Florida. So it's right off the, you know, right off the, whatever you call it, fast road. What's that fast road called? There you go. See, I'm from backwoods. I live in a little town. What are those things called? Interstates? Do you get on them to go enter another state? Is that why they're called interstates? Or is there a reason? Interstate. Is that why? Probably. I'll stick to preaching. The other day, Emma comes up to me, and for some reason, my jokes are never really funny. And so she was listening to a little podcast or something, and we tucked them all in. And there's a list of, there's like 1, 2, 3 things that you need to do to make your joke funny. And she's listening to this thing, right? And so all of a sudden, she hears something, and she calls me in. This is like almost 9 o'clock at night. She says, "Dad, come in here. Come in here." And she's 9. And so she hits play. And the first thing that this podcast says, before you tell a joke, you need to make sure that it's funny. And she looks at me and she goes, "Dad, when I listened to that, I thought of you." So I'm going to stick to preaching. Forget the joking. Forget the joking. Oh, wow. That was funny. The other thing that was funny is, so we're headed to vacation. So we just got done having like 3 months of meetings every night. All right? Every night. And close to like 20, maybe 25 people every night. We're getting together and we fed them. Like, so we had a dinner at 6. And then we would have class from like 7 to 9:30, 10 o'clock. All right? So that was 4 nights a week. So we just got done with that, hallelujah, last week, and we had a graduation, super fun. Remember when Kendra and Ricardo let you guys know when they came up that one whole week? They came to help us teach that, so it was such a blessing. So when they came up, it was halfway through, and I just looked at Ricky and Kendra, and I go, "Guys, why don't you just take the whole class? It'd be so nice." It was such a nice break for Kendra and I to not have to, I mean, Lillian and I, to not have to do anything. We could just show up and have fun. And Kendra and Ricardo brought their guitar. They prayed. They just had, it was so much fun, right? So we had a whole week of break. So now we're coming off of this, like, it's a long time, and we're ready for vacation. So our family's ready to go to Florida, right? We're ready to shut it all down. And we say, "Hey, Ricky, on our way down, we're going to stop and see you guys." And Ricky goes, "Okay, you're going to play piano, and you're going to preach." And I'm looking at the text, and I'm like, "Lord, like, I'm actually kind of tired, right?" You know what I mean? But then I'm thinking, oh, man, I know why he's probably saying you can do it all, like, because he came up that whole week, and I said, "Dude, you take my class the whole week." So he says, "Come, you take my church the whole day. Give me a break." So trade off. We're even now, right? All right, stick to preaching, Rod. All right, let's turn to your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians is what I am. We're just going to read it. Do we all have Bibles? Everybody there? Everybody got phones? Who does phones? Who does Bible? I'm just curious. It's both. And it's on the screen. Man, we're covered. We're all covered. Awesome. Before we read it, is everybody there? Does everybody have it? Whoever wants to go there, if you're there. Before we read it, just out of respect and honor for the word, let's just take a small moment of silence. Yes, Lord, we honor your word. We want to honor what it can do in our lives. We want to acknowledge that it is powerful, and that when I hear it with the right ears, it can change and change. It can change me. Amen. Awesome. All right, so let's read 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go from 2 to 10, and we're just going to read it through, and then we'll see what's in it for us. "We always thank God for all of you, and continually, is there a better light? I might need a light. Kendra, I might need to use your glasses. I'm starting to realize, I think I'm getting there. Ooh. Ooh. Is it, how's this look, y'all? Hey, this is good. Wow. This is a little bit better, but it still hurts my eyes. I think I got to get a prescription, maybe. Read it on. Oh, that's up. Hey! Ah, I'll get there. I'll get there one day. So we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith and your labor prompted by love and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters that are loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you. For your sake, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message, it rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, for your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception that you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescued us from the coming wrath. So Thessalonians was written by Paul. You guys probably all know this. Paul, the apostle, went to a town called Thessalonica. And it was in that one, I think, that his story was where he actually ended up in prison. He was beaten, was put in prison, and that's where the big, huge earthquake happened that night when he was in the way down in the dungeon, and they were singing around midnight, and as they were singing, the whole, you know, thing goes shaking. Those of us who are Haitians, you hear gluru gluru passe, and it like, boom! And everything opened up, and the prisoners were saved. And it was just amazing. So that was the birthplace of this church, okay? And it's interesting, when you go look at this town, the history of Thessalonica is they experienced, that city actually experienced two major earthquakes. And when they mean major, it means literally like a leveling of their town. And there was it's just a sweet story. There's a whole Roman, because it was under Roman rule over that time. There's a Roman thing that the emperor used to do after a town went through an earthquake. He used to come with money and just help rebuild their whole town. But it's something that was significant enough that it's in their history as a town, as a group of people. So imagine Thessalonica and the people there just with that history, that background of earthquake, suffering. Like, I mean, we've seen the things in California. Just there's earthquakes disrupt, right? They disrupt your way of life. They disrupt, I mean, it's just a word, too, that we use in our English language. Like, oh, man, you know, when something shakes you, when you've been shaken, it's like, man, I feel like I went through an earthquake. Everything just has been taken from me. And so that's kind of the backdrop for this type of church, this new church that is growing up. They're accustomed to, they're familiar with a shaking, a changing, a ripping apart, a losing, suffering, like whatever, all that, they're familiar with it. It's in their DNA. Just like, you know, we've got our lovely, don't tread on me flags. What else do we have as Americans? Like, we've got these things that are in our DNA that we're, you know what I mean? That we're just, it's us. It's what we think of when we think of democracy. We've got so many things that are in our DNA because it's what we've been through as a country. And so these people here, that was their backdrop. And so when Paul showed up there, for him to be introduced in a way to these people by an earthquake is significant too. So there was an earthquake within that temple. Sorry, not the temple, the prison. So even some of the similarities there, it's like, okay, what's God trying to do? What's God trying to build in this new group of people? But he saved him. He brought him out of prison through an earthquake. And so that was kind of just, and then this group of people grew, but it wasn't easy for them. And this is what we're starting to see. So Paul starts that first small church. He leaves, and this is around the year 51 is when he's writing this letter back to them. So he hasn't even been in prison yet. It's not part of his, you know, he's not in Rome writing to the churches. He's still a full-fledged missionary at this point, running around, but he needs to write something back to these guys in this town of Thessalonica. And he starts by saying he thanks God for all of them. And verse 3, he brings up something. We remember before our God and Father, your what? Your what? Say it there. Your what? Your work. Your work, which was produced by what? Yeah. So he's saying there, hey, I remember, I see the work that you put in, the things that you do. What's work? What's a work? It's exerting physical labor, right? Like, what's work? I mean, work probably is a total different, I mean, it depends on your age too, where you're at, right, with work, and even how you work, and the depth of what you work. But work is just, it's putting out some sort of energy. Putting out some sort of energy. So what makes you willing to do the work? It's because there is a what behind it. There's a faith. How many of us are still working, like working to bring in an income? Raise your hand. Oh boy. Way to go. So maybe that's not the greatest example. But I guess for those of us who are still doing that, we work because, and we have a faith, or we have a trust that at the end of the year, the end of the week, they're going to give me a what? A paycheck. Okay. So for those of you who are older, no worries. Why were you working so hard to get to 62 years old? Sorry, 60 what? 67, sorry. Or what are the other ages that you chose to retire? Give me some ages. 72. Why were you willing to work so hard to get to that point? It's because you had a belief, you had faith in a certain system called what? Our social security system, which is set up, which is a reward for people who have exerted energy. And so you exert this energy to receive something. That's work. So faith doesn't come without work. What do you believe in? It's got to come with work. It's got to come with some sort of energy that is being put out. But I love how the next phrase, so we've got their work is produced by faith. And he's not even saying what type of faith. It's not even like a faith in Jesus. It's just faith. You have faith, it'll cause you to do something. It'll cause you to do some sort of movement. So we've got work and faith. And now what's the next phrase? There's a comma. What does a comma mean in our English language or in translations? It means there's another thought. There's something to come. So what's the other thought that's here? Your labor prompted by what? Well, whoa, whoa, whoa. Didn't he just say work and faith? Isn't labor and work the same thing? Is labor and work the same thing? Could be. I think you guys are tracking with me. It could be, but I don't think it is. And especially if we're thinking about Paul, when we talk about, you know, in the early church, they knew that there was, show me your faith, prove it by your works, your deeds. What you do is gonna relate to your faith. But then when they talk about the word labor, what are some other things that labor is brought up? Labor prompted by love. Labor is when work is hard. You labor in something because it's hard. Why else is it called, my wife has six kids. Why else do you call it, what's the word? Labor. Labor pains. You don't call it work. If I would go to my wife when she's having our seventh kid, we're not having our seventh kid, by the way. But if we would, and I'd say, hey, babe, you ready to go to work? She'd probably be like, what? It ain't no work, it's labor. Right? Like, it's hard. There's resistance. There's, like, it's, whenever you're, when it's laborious, it's because something's pushing against you. So, what do you need then? He's kind of realizing, saying, you guys have worked in faith. You've gotten up and do the things that are just normal, the things that you need to do. And that comes with faith. You got to believe that there's a reward. So you work. But there's also something that I've seen in you guys. You know what it is to labor. Which is that next extra oomph. When you don't feel like going to work because you've got a bad boss or they don't pay you enough or whatever it is. Or when you don't feel like getting up after you've retired because your bones hurt too much, right? Or it's not sunny outside. Or whatever it is that you feel is the world is falling apart. This generation doesn't get you. There's just, these people. And you don't feel like getting up to work, it switches. You need to start to labor. But what's going to help you in your labor? Just like faith helps you in your work, what's going to help you in your labor? Love. What are you doing it for? What's going to make you a person that Paul can write a letter and say, I see your labor. It's because I see your love. I see how you're willing to be unselfish. I see how you're willing to not just see yourself. In relation, and again, keep it in relation. This group of people, they know what it is to lose everything. Maybe twice. Maybe there were some people that it was twice it happened to them. They lost it all, earthquake. But they still knew what it is to get up and just do the simple work produced by faith. There's a reward at the end of the day. But sometimes that work is going to be contested. And then when that work is contested, it becomes labor. But then what does the labor need when you're being pushed against? That's where you need something deeper than just faith. What do we need? We need love to be prompting us. We need love to be the thing that makes me get up out of the bed even though my bones are hurting, but my grandkids are on the way. You need love to be that thing that is just driving you to push through that labor. I see it, we had all of our kids at home. Except for one. So I was so privileged to be a part of it. And the labor that is, I feel, with mothers, it's prompted by love for that kid. Like, I've seen it every time. She goes through hell. It hurts. And halfway through the moment, you don't know if you're going to make it, right? And you see it come across her eyes, and it's just, but then there's this, you keep, he's like, hey, it's your baby. It's your baby. And then there's something that comes over those moms in that labor. It's the love for the next generation. It's the love for, it's love, and they go through it. Like, that's the love that he's talking about. It's prompted by love. And so you think we're talking about labor and prompted love, all that, but then there's a comma, right? And he says, even though I've seen that you guys do good work and you're full of faith, even though I see you labor and you push through because you love people, but there's also something else that I've seen you've done. And what is that? You've endured. There's a faith that God wants to see in us, yes. But there's also a labor that he wants to see in us. There's a pushback from when things are hard. There's a leaning into that he wants to see from you. And then as that is happening, there's a what? There's an endurance that he's going to want to see in us. And that only comes from time. And I think that that's what I love. And I was telling Kendra and Ricardo this when they were up at our house. That's what I love about seeing what Kendra and Ricardo are doing here. Not because of their endurance, but because, again, how many people here are no longer working for a paycheck? Raise your hands. We could even do, how many people would consider themselves to have endured this life because you're older? Raise your hand. There's a lot of you. There's a lot of older people here. And you know what? You know what that shows? Yes. Tell it back to me, guys. What does old say? I've endured. I've been through it. So shut up and let me live. Shut up and let me live. Right? But like, listen, that. But it's got to come first, full circle. And it's got to be your work. Let it produce faith in you, and you've lived it. Labor, you've got stories of laboring. But have you quit? Okay, then don't. I don't care what age. Endure, endure, endure. I need to see it. Christianity needs to see a church of older people that it's not that this is what makes them on fire. Like, what makes them on fire is because they are simply enduring. And I get up and I feel horrible. My bones hurt. I don't feel like loving people anymore. I've loved more than you've ever loved, than you have minutes. Like, you look at these young kids and you're like, I've done it. Don't tell me that I haven't done it. But in that mindset, sometimes you can, what do you start to do? It's not prompted by love. Those mindsets are prompted by what? Selfishness. You know? So there is such depth that you guys can offer to people. Continue. I hope that it's someday I can be old like you guys. To have the stories of endurance. You know? One of the reasons why we moved up to New York, there was an older couple up there. And we were like, we want our kids, if our kids can turn out like them. We upped and moved to a whole different place. New church, didn't even know the people in the church. We just were like, oh. And there was one safety net. that I felt was okay. I was like, there's an older couple there that has been through things, that has weathered things. I want to be close. If I'm moving, if I'm jumping into something new, I want to have somebody that's endured, that's with me. That's what aid can offer back to my generation. You know? That's what you guys can offer back to my generation. Someone that is sitting down, not moving a finger, but can stare me down and say, I did it. And I'll continue to do it till the last breath of my body. Like that makes me feel like I'm carried. That makes me feel like, okay, if you can do it, I can do it. So I think that's my cry to you guys. It's like, listen, it's never been over. It's never been over. The endurance never stops. You've got to continue. There's so much riding on your relationship with Jesus still for this generation, for this place, for this community, for Kendra and Ricardo, for their kids, for anybody who's coming in here. Like, you have such an honorable position in the kingdom. Bear it. Bear it with honor. Continue to work with your faith. Continue to labor, prompted by love. And continue to endure, inspired by the hope. For you know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that He has chosen you, because the gospel came to you not simply with what? Words, but with power. What is more powerful than someone who I can look at and I can see that you have worked in faith, that you have labored in love, and that you have endured in hope? I think too often when we see that word power, it all of a sudden goes to like healings and casting out demons and all those things that are byproducts. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the life that Jesus lived. Because your gospel came not with simply with words, but with power. And here's where it is. With the Holy Spirit. And with what? What's the next word? Deep conviction. How else do you get deep conviction? How do you get it? I'm 44. The older I am getting, the deeper I am getting in my conviction. The deeper I am getting in, I ain't changing. And it's a, Luna and I were just talking about this. It's not an arrogant, it's not a, I want it to be a, I want to be soft. But I'm not changing. Like it's a difference. I'm feeling different in light of when I was younger, it seemed like I wanted more approval maybe, or maybe to try new things out. This sweater is what I like. I'm just going to wear the same sweater over and over and over again and shut up. Excuse my French. But right, that's kind of the mindset. It's like, I've worn so many different sweaters. And someone comes up with the newest, latest sweater and you're like, well, it's not. What's your favorite fabric? You look at a fabric right away. It doesn't have it in it. You're set in your ways. Not because you're hard and arrogant, but because you have been through things. And you've realized what works for you. And you embrace that, and you're okay with that. You're not just trying to change to become, I'm not just trying to raise my kid like any other book that pops up. It's like, I know how I want my kids to be raised. And now I've got a 15-year-old and he's turned out really well. So now I got a 13-year-old. He's coming, working out really well. And there's just, So there's things that's in my brain. I'm not really going to do anything different.
Oh, Dad, get in with the times.
I've only got my time. You know. You're this deep conviction is being settled in you. And I think the things that bring that, I love that. It's power. So if you want power, it comes with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And you will grow in deep conviction over and over and over again if verse 3 continues to be a model in your life. Work, because you believe in something. Labor, because you love. And then endure, because you have hope. Those things will start to create this conviction. This conviction. This is the right way. This is the right. And people need to see that. People need to see people who are deep in their conviction. You know how we lived. And then he starts to switch. He says, the deep conviction now. You know how we lived. We lived a certain way. For what? For your sake. That's what conviction does to you. It enables you to live a certain way for who? For others. For others' sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model for all the believers. And I love how I'm just going to point out in verse 8, then the Lord's message rang out from who? You, not only in Macedonia. And then it keeps going, your faith in God. Whether we do not need to say anything about it, verse 9, for they themselves report the kind reception that what? You gave. They tell how what? You. And it's just this heart that Paul's realizing. He's like, okay, when we live for the sake of someone else, it becomes about someone else. Paul could be sitting here saying all his sufferings, all the stuff that he's gone through, all the things that people don't understand about him, all the things that he just does, like complaining Paul. Which, I think he's done that in the Bible before, right? He said, here, I was shipwrecked. It was this, I was beaten. You know. But when you start to live for the sake of someone else, it does start to become about them. And you no longer see your problems as much anymore. And you know what that actually gives you? It actually helps you endure. The very thing that the devil wants you to do when endurance is lacking is look at yourself. Because when you look at yourself, then you will see, you will be stifled of all ability to be able to see around you. Ryan just ran a marathon, right? A half marathon. And how was it? Like, you just felt like the energy, the crowd was just so good. Even though you were hurting, but the energy that was around him was so good. If he would have just, okay, let's take a moment and let's knees, what are you telling me? It's bad. You know, ankles, what are you telling me? If he would have solely focused all his energy on himself, there would probably be a lack of endurance on his part. So it is, it's this whole full circle thing. Work produced by faith. But labor is different from work. When things are hard, there's prompting that comes from love. Endurance is inspired by hope. And you gain those things by the power of the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And then you know how we lived for your sake. I guess my challenge to you guys this morning, if it's even a challenge, I feel like that's, you know, most of you are older, right, than I am. And, like, you have life to give. And see that. Unless you can convince yourself and the Holy Spirit that everything that He's taken you through up to this moment was just so that you could retire. Have that conversation with him. I'll check back in 2 years and see how it... Tell me how it went. But if not, like, you've been through the things that you've been through. Your life, you're 60, you're 50, you're 70, you're going through a broken arm, whatever it is you're having, man. Like, stuff that you're going through and you're enduring it. You're content. Like, the work, faith, labor, love, endurance, hope. If you've been through it, there's a life now that you need to live for someone else's sake. Because I need to see that. The up-and-coming generation, this thing that we were crying out, I see a generation, you know, crying, we're going to have to do it on our own. And there's no wisdom in that. You ever just throw a person in a car and say, hey, figure it out? Is there wisdom in that? No. But there is an older generation in church that is almost making the younger generation, they're forcing the younger generation to figure it out themselves. You have words, and maybe a lot of us don't want to listen. Yes, maybe we're too high strung, but there might be one or two of us. Will you endure?
That's right.
Don't feel like you don't have anything to get back to church.
That's right.
Rise up. It doesn't need to be flashy. It doesn't need to be showy. It can be very slow and painful.
That's right.
It can be slow and painful. But I'll tell you something. When you do stand up, when it's painful and when it's slow, when you get up there, people see you. And they're like, wow, you put the work in. So get up in whatever place you need to. If it's at work, if it's with your family, if it's with your grandkids, if it's with your own siblings, just get up. Do that endurance thing. Go through your faith, dig deep, labor. And then let the power of the Holy Spirit and that deep conviction that's in you, let him draw from that. You might stutter. You might not have the right words. There might be speech problems. But I don't tell a good joke. That's what my daughter said. It doesn't matter. But Jesus, I ask that you would,
yes,
encourage this older church, Lord. Encourage this older body that has been through things, that have seen things. Father, the ones that are here that hear that, may they respond in an open and willing way. Yeah. May they become imitators of you, Lord. May they welcome this message in the midst of their suffering.
I've had many tears and sorrows,
I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I did know right from wrong. But in those precious 3 hours, no, 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 that my trials come to only make me strong. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've been through lots of places. I've seen faces. There've been times I feel so alone. But in all those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His very own.
do? We're going to depend what? On Him. Father, we thank You today. Thank You for Your word. We will endure. We will. As for me in my house, as for me in this church, can I have a witness? We will endure. We will endure. We will endure. We will not give up. We will not give up. We will continue to hold the line. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. I pray a blessing over these, Your sons and Your daughters. May the peace of God, the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding, dwell in our hearts, our mind, and in our bodies, in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Make it a great day and a great week. We sing.